The abortion map in this country is changing quickly following the overturning of Roe v. Wade. Mississippi's lone abortion clinic plans to close today following a state legal battle. And in Iowa, courts are wrestling over a proposed 24-hour waiting period for procedures. A lot in flux. So let's check the map with Sarah McCammon. She covers abortion politics and policy for NPR. Hi, Sarah.
Hi there.
So on the day the Supreme Court overturned the constitutional right to an abortion, 8 states banned them. Another 5 have what are called trigger bans taking effect soon. How many people live in states where abortion is now illegal?
Well, this number is constantly in flux, and it depends on what the courts say on any given day. I mean, there are, first of all, several different types of laws. You mentioned trigger laws, which were written specifically to go into effect after Roe was overturned. And as you said, multiple states tried to enforce those right away. Then there are pre-Roe v. Wade laws. Texas had one of those that the attorney general was trying to enforce, prohibiting abortion. And then there are others that were just too restrictive with Roe in effect, and many states are trying to implement those too. So the answer to that question shifts, but the bottom line is that about half the country has some type of restrictive abortion law on the books, and there are hearings underway. There will be one in Kentucky today and in Louisiana on Friday, surrounding some of the litigation around these laws. So just a lot of uncertainty.
Yeah, and as I hear you describing, no easy answer to some of these questions. There is confusion, I gather, in states that have bans, but they don't go into effect right away. So in those states, what is the practical effect on providers and pregnant people seeking abortions?
Well, I'm not seeing any reports of, for people living in states without restrictions being prevented from getting abortions at this time.
Okay.
For those that go into effect in a couple of weeks, I think we'll have another wave of some of this kind of confusion. But you talk about uncertainty on the ground, and there is a lot of that. I mean, for example, in Montana, Planned Parenthood just said in the last few days that they would stop providing abortion pills to patients from South Dakota and other states with abortion bans. The concern being that people might take those pills at home and potentially violate those state laws. Montana says they're still providing surgical abortions to people from out of state there in Montana, but again, not giving out abortion pills. So yes, I mean, there is, I can't say it enough, tremendous uncertainty about interstate issues, and also many states have multiple abortion restrictions on the books. That's an issue in Louisiana as well as Texas that's been litigated. And so attorneys tell me it's unclear in some cases which laws are in effect right now.
And I just heard you say is it Montana, at least one state, there are abortion pills that are not being dispensed. So this is procedures as well as pills we're talking about.
Right. For some patients, for patients from certain states, that's true.
Okay. And I've seen some of the maps on the penalties on the books for the provider, some of them multiple years in prison, tens of thousands of dollars, perhaps, if they're found in violation of this. Now, conversely, some states have laws explicitly enshrining abortion rights. Geographically, where are those?
They're kind of where you would expect. California and New York, for example, are some of those states. And then there are states like Illinois in the middle of the country that are becoming what abortion rights supporters call a haven for abortion care. Also, several states, Scott, have taken steps in recent years to expand abortion access or protect it with an eye toward the possibility of Roe v. Wade being overturned. Just this year, lawmakers in New Jersey and Colorado, for example, put explicit protections in their state law. Maryland is allowing a broader range of healthcare providers to perform abortions now. So there is really a push-pull, and we use the word patchwork a lot. It's a very patchwork system at this time and likely will be for quite some time.
Yeah. And in a few states, at least 3 states, I gather, abortion bans have been blocked. They're still in the courts, Kentucky, Louisiana, and Utah. So what's happening there? I mean, in the courtrooms and on the ground.
Right. I mentioned the litigation surrounding some of these state abortion bans and the confusion about which ones are in effect. So far, reproductive rights lawyers have had at least some temporary success in the states you mentioned, Kentucky, Louisiana, and Utah. in allowing abortions to resume, but that could very quickly change. You know, as I said, there are legal battles underway and things can change kind of from moment to moment. But in general, that is the strategy. It's to challenge some of these abortion bans under state law, since the U.S. Supreme Court has said, the Constitution does not provide a right to an abortion. So lawyers are arguing that state constitutions in some cases may include protections for abortion rights.
Okay. And briefly, this patchwork you're talking about, you know, means some people will cross state lines to receive abortion services. You talked to Peter Breen of a conservative Thomas More Society. Let's take a listen.
If you have a fund that is aiming to bring people from a pro-life state to an abortion state in order to abort an unborn resident of the pro-life state, that state is going to have something to say about it.
Just quickly, Sarah, what is he saying here?
Well, the number one way that they're trying to do that is through civil litigation, using civil lawsuits to prevent people from providing abortions or helping people get them. And that is a big part of the strategy going forward for abortion rights opponents.
NPR's Sarah McCammon, thank you as always.
Thank you.